Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
And I'm JD.
This is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. Tonight, as always, socially distanced. We did it before it was mandated or popular. Ross is in the Northeast. I'm in the Midwest. JD's in Colorado. So we're back to our usual three different time zones. It's the only way we really do the show. Like when it's like two East Coast guys or two Midwest guys and one East Coast guy, it just feels wrong. It's proper when it's three time zones.
It's good. Yep. I like it. Yep.
Yeah. So thanks for coming back, JD. Hey,
thanks for having me.
Ross, do you want to start with your updates?
Quick stuff. I'm going to get it out of the way. I still have the KO2s. I still have not mounted them on the Lexus. I am considering wheel options, and Chris, I have probably chewed your ear off endlessly about this. The options are those American Racing AR172 Bajas that my brother was on and talked about. Was that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was?
When this comes out, it'll have been 2 weeks ago.
So the, you know, the BFGs are 34 by 10 and a half. So they recommend a 7 to 9 inch wide wheel. So the sweet spot's obviously dead in the middle. That's 8. And those American Racing wheels are 17 by 8 and they're the right offset. And they actually only weigh like 25 pounds. So thinking that might be the way to go.
These are the same that are on your brother's truck?
Same exact wheels. We might actually be running the same wheels by the next time we talk about this.
But just different tires because he went Toyos and you've got KO2s.
Yeah, he went down to stock size Toyos because he, you know, it's his daily. And he's got, it's a 2022 and he's got 65,000 miles on it by the time the show comes out. So he, you know, pounds the shit out of it.
Does some driving.
He does a bit of driving, yes. So trying to make a decision on wheels. You know, Wheel Pros has been super kind about offering those at cost. And then Dustin at FN Wheels, which is a pretty well-known company for the Toyota stuff, has, you know, extended an offer too for what are called the FX Pro. They look kind of, well, not kind of, they're pseudo replicas of the OEM TRD Pro wheels. So trying to just make a call on what look to go with, because they're very, very different. And ultimately it's, you know, different means the same end. And we'll get there when we get there. Might have a trip with the Lexus this coming Saturday, actually, into the woods. Yeah. So Chris will talk, but I'm asking the guys if they want to record a quick like 20-minute show from where lunch spot is.
Absolutely, yes.
One of the guys in our group, John, has got a new rig. He's got it. He unfortunately lost his last Tacoma, and now he has a second gen twin locked front rear on 35s. So getting a little spicy for the Toyota boys there.
That's close to the word built.
It's definitely built. Oh yeah, yeah. It's a slippery slope because now we got guys talking about flatbeds and, you know, Matt, who I know listens to this show.
Trays.
The show,
they're called trays.
Trays.
Utility trays. Yes.
They're turning it into a ute. Matt, who listens to the show and is a good friend of mine, is talking about doing Chevy 63s on his third gen Tacoma. So I'm watching all this go down and thinking about, you know, 44s and armor, and I'm happy to pull as much cable as I have to keep up. You know, I'm not going to the point of aftermarket, you know, axles or anything yet, unless like Marlin Crawler wants to give me a holler and we can do like, you know, some long travel.
So for the listener that's not super fluent in Tacoma world or 4Runner world, what the hell does Chevy 63s mean?
That's a good question.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is it axles? It's not 63-inch tires, because that's over 5 feet tall.
It's the diffs and
it's
the
monster
solid
truck size, guys. Yeah,
the clip that cuts out that shows that Chris is an idiot for this.
AI is going to come in handy for a visualizer on that. Let me look what the era. What gen Chevy...
Because when I Google it, like Chevy 63s on 4Runner was what Google like autofilled. And so the tires all look normal size, which is why I was like, okay, so I'm missing something here. It's got to be axle based, right?
It's axle based, but you retain your given. I'm not a Tacoma guy. I don't know leaf springs or anything really about the way that stuff works on trucks. My understanding is that you retain most of your factory drivetrain, but somehow reconfigure the back end to account for 63-inch travel springs. Not travel. Okay. Travel's the wrong word. It's 88 to 2010 GMC trucks, so they're bigger, okay, longer, heavier duty coils is probably, I don't know. Fuck, Matt's gonna kill me. I'm gonna while we're talking.
Is Matt going wheeling this weekend? Make Matt talk about it.
Yes, he will be. I'm texting him right now. Matt,
go to the source, Ross. Go to the source.
Second explanation of what Chevy 63s are. I have not done my homework, and I apologize to everybody.
This is where you can splice in the response that he sends back to you.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully we'll get there. Anyway, speaking of bad decisions. Actually, this was a good decision. You know, I've been nerding out on all the RC stuff, and I put an FJ40 looking body on the Traxxas TRX4M. So now it looks, and the audio listeners are, you know, missing out here, but it's a very pretty Enjora IR40, and it's got new wheels and tires, and I'm very happy with it. And that's it.
That works.
It looks awesome.
It just goes
awesome.
To show we're all still children.
Dude, seriously, like, I'm having as much fun playing with this stuff now as I did when I was a kid.
It's funny you say it like that. Like, we're all still children. Like, that's all adult men or 12-year-old boys still. Like,
yeah.
There was, when I was growing up, I was probably 8. And one of the shops that my dad used to bring his Jeep to, he bought me a video of these guys off-roading out west, and I can't remember the phrase, but the opening of the video was somebody commentating over like a whole fleet of built trucks rolling into a stream as they entered a trail, and it was basically, you know, you never grow up, it's just the size of your toys that change. You know, and I mean, It's not size, because this is the same size as the stuff I played with when I was a kid. It's just more expensive.
Yeah. It's the size of a credit card bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Fun stuff. This is fun stuff. And I'm going to bring that RC four-wheel drive C2X comp crawler thing that I've been talking about on the trip this weekend and break it out during lunch. So
that's the four-wheel steer wheel one, right?
No, that's the full 10th scale one. The one that's like 10 pounds. Oh, okay. And giant. The four-wheel steer one is up there, and I need to tinker with it a bit because the...
Which one broke? Or did I misread that image?
That doesn't narrow it down.
You sent me one that looked like it was collapsed on a super body?
On a what body?
I'm going to share the image because you sent it to me, and I still don't know what you sent me.
Okay. And by the time you do that, that's a, that's a Traxxas. That's a 1/16 Traxxas eRevo. I bought it a couple weeks ago. I played with it once with my brother in the rain. It was 34 degrees and pouring rain and windy. It was horrible. And then on this past Saturday night, I went outside and had my headlamp on and was playing with it. And I had gotten a second battery and a splice, like a splitter for it. So it basically like bumps the power and bumps the runtime. And long story short, after about 15 minutes, the back end is on the ground and won't come
you
back.
Did you blow a diff or suspension?
No, it has inboard suspension, and the suspension's totally fine. I haven't had enough time to play around with it
to dig in.
See what happens.
Okay.
It's unhappy. And before we proceed, Matt says, you put Chevy leaf springs in, I want to say they are 63 inches eye to eye. So you basically get more meat on your leaf springs. Yeah, 63 inches on a coil would be
that tracks,
absurd. So yeah, let's pretend I never said that sentence out loud.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Because then you'll start getting pictures.
It's all right.
I got 63 inches.
I thought it was 63 inches tall, so.
No.
If somebody has a Chevy on 63-inch tires, I would like to see that, by the way, so.
I think 63 isn't a size they make. I think it goes from 44s to monster truck.
And what are those?
More or less.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a 63-inch tire, but it's a 63-inch internal. Yeah, internal. The diameter from the space in the middle is 63 inches. Oh, the tire's like 12 feet tall. It's those giant dump trucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The earth movers.
Yeah, I found one with humans in it, but none of them are very large aspect ratios to share.
The pictures are the humans.
That one's pretty good. Both.
Monster truck tires run from 66 inches. Monster truck tires are 66 inches tall by 43 inches wide.
Jesus.
Pretty damn close.
Yeah.
66 by 43. Wow. They look almost square stand. So that tracks. Excuse me. Seltzer.
I will say I get frustrated with social media with people that play with their RC monster trucks and then add V8 noises underneath it. And every time I have to go, wait, is this real or not?
Yeah, the tilt shift cinematography. Yeah, tilt shift, because it used to be audio tilt shift underneath photography. I specifically remember Land Rover did a tilt shift ad. I think it was for like the LR4 or LR3, and it looked real. It was awesome. But now you can do tilt shift videography.
The best tilt shift is from the British TV series Sherlock. The opening credits were all tilt shift video, and so it looks like somebody playing with model toys of London. Yeah,
the one
with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah,
yeah. Martin Freeman would have been the easier name to call out there because he's in all the series too. it's actually really good to watch.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It's more fun.
Oh, it's hard to watch without a Netflix account. So I'll watch the intro and get back to you.
Yeah,
not hard, but it's impossible.
No, say, just how much work do you want to put in, Ross? Like,
yeah, no. Anyways, Chris, you got anything?
So we're going to skip my updates because I have so much that I think I could fill an entire show by myself. And I don't want to take JD's time because he has epic cool stuff that is on his list here, which is way better than
I do.
Chris, you could do the Jeff Glucker and, you know, go to Ireland, get hammered, and then ramble for 45 minutes.
By myself?
Wait, is that
by yourself?
I would say, like,
solo.
I just got done watching a rugby documentary on Netflix, so I feel like I need to go to UK what's it called? Six Nations Full Contact. And in the second to last episode, my wife and I looked at each other and were like, should we figure out the rules to rugby? Because we just watched,
I mean,
6 hours of this crap. And like,
it's interesting to watch, yeah.
I got the scoring, like in the documentary, like the scoring's fairly straightforward, like five. Their extra points are worth 2, and their penalty kicks are worth 3, which was kind of weird. But like, every time an official was involved, I was like, I have no clue who's in the right or the wrong here.
As an outsider, it is a lot simpler than trying to understand cricket. So,
see, I've spent the time to figure out cricket, and that makes sense to me. So maybe rugby will make sense too. So,
yeah, you'll figure it out.
My favorite part in cricket is when a score is like 300 and the other side has yet to bat.
I'm sure they'll make it up in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Now that took me to wrestling tournaments because you got the front side of the bracket and you got the back side of the bracket. If you're on the back side of the bracket, you had a shitty day. So don't want to be on the back side of the bracket.
I told you I had no idea what you were talking about.
Are we allowed to talk about brackets? Like, we're getting close to that time of year. Isn't that like
copyright? It is March. Yeah. I'm pretty sure my team's not going to make it, but yeah, we can talk about it.
The team for the shirt you're wearing?
No, this team just spent $288 million today. So they signed a guy for 11 years.
God damn.
I mean, that was only like half of it, right? Like that hoodie.
Yeah, the hoodie was definitely the hoodie was. Is he on the team when the hoodie came out? Yeah, he was on the team when the hoodie came out. So yeah, that was part of it. So
who's this?
The Royals signed their shortstop named Bobby Witt Jr. to an extension. Mm. So It is advertised as an 11-year deal worth $288 million, but in reality, it's like a 7-year deal and then a bunch of options for the player. And if the player's playing well, he's not going to take those options because he'll make more money on the free market. So,
well, allegedly, Hamilton just pulled $100 million a year for Ferrari. So
Over the weekend, all the memes were getting to be pretty funny for Ferrari. And then I saw one that, like, Red Bull's found a workaround for their wind tunnel penalty. And it was, I don't know which city they were in, but it was a subway, an elevated subway train. And, like, the fourth car was a car holding a Red Bull F1 car only.
That's funny.
I was like, I don't think they're getting the correct wind speeds across that car, but... That's a funny joke.
It's just like on top of the metro in Chicago.
It was like a half a car. So like it wasn't even up in the wind. Like the car in front of it was. Punching a hole 40. Anyways, it was getting a good toe.
We're gonna have enough F1 talk, I'm sure, as my frustrations mount. Let's talk wheeling. JD, what you been up to? Why don't you give a 15-second reintroduction to who you are?
That was an amazing segue. I had to give you credit for that. Yeah.
We are nothing if not good at pretending we're good at segues.
That was a hard left turn, which is also what ended me up in a problem that I have not had my Jeep since July.
Since July?
Yeah. So... back in July, I was on my way back from a trail that I was doing an update on, and we'd had a lot of rain that last summer, and we had some rock fall come down, and I had gotten a flat tire I wasn't aware of, and I was on rim, and I thought I was high enough over the rocks, and I wasn't. And I hit a rock hard. And then that instituted an argument with my insurance company. And I argued with them for a few months. And then finally just gave up with them in November and took it to my own shop. So it's been at a place here in Denver. And it's actually, I was kind of hoping to pick it up on Friday. And so now it's probably going to be tomorrow or Wednesday. So it's at least, new axle. All new steering in the front. There's a lot of dents underneath that will get repaired in another day. Someday I gotta get some skid plates.
This sounds like you did a whole bunch of what, like the while you're in there kind of stuff. Like, oh, this happened, so I'm gonna fix this, and then that means I'm gonna fix this.
No, well, the axle was definitely the problem. That was the major point of impact. That was definitely the issue. The insurance company started looking at things like the gas pan, and I'm like, it's a skid plate for the gas can. Like, I don't know what you want it to do except take dents. You don't need to replace it. As long as the gas is, as long as it's not leaking gas, leave it alone. Right. So. We went back and forth, and like I said, finally I gave up with them. So it still cost me a pretty penny to get it back up and running. And they let me do, what I wanted to do with it to put the parts back I wanted to put back on it. I have the lifetime Mopar warranty on that Jeep.
Nice.
And so I wanted to retain as much of that as possible. So
the 99 years, 999,999 miles one, my parents have that on their WK2. And by the time the show comes out, there will be another update on that.
It was.
Oof. Oh, sad Jeep is sad.
Sad Jeep is sad, but it's got a lifetime warranty on it. I expect this Jeep to be sad someday. I mean, this is a pretty sad shot. I was pretty sad filming that.
So what trip were you, what trail are you scouting again, re-scouting when this happened?
So I was out on Democrat Mountain, and I don't think I sent you a link for that one.
I've climbed that one.
Have you? There's Democrat and there's Republican, and you can climb both. Really? So, they're right next to each other.
I did Democrat, Lincoln, and Brosh all on the same day.
Okay, that's the 14er.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. This is not the 14er.
So there's two?
No. You can't drive up the 14er.
Come on, Dems. I had to scramble up. Yeah.
Yeah. JD, I'm sorry for making you relive this. This is not our intention. We're just trying.
I'm fine with it. No, I'm good with it. I'm close enough to getting it back where I feel comfortable talking about it now. Mm-hmm. Like there has been some PTSD. I won't lie. I won't lie to you at all.
Yeah.
But we were It was coming back from Democrat that I spent all of the first half of 2024 updating 2023 Jeep.
Yeah. Time doesn't matter. You're good.
Yeah. Time doesn't matter. Nothing. It's whose line is it anyway? Time doesn't matter. And it's all made up anyway.
Everything's made up. Yes. Points don't matter. Yeah.
So I was doing updates for all of the trails that I have on Trails Off Road for a whole host of reasons. Some of them I hadn't really done a complete facelift on other than to physically be on them in the past few years. So we just kind of wanted to do a whole swipe through and make sure everything was fresh and up to date because there were some updates coming for Trails Off Road in 2024 with the Jeep and so they wanted to make, we wanted to make sure all of our content was fresh on top of it being up to date. We do a pretty good job of keeping it up to date, but pictures get old. So
yeah. And trails change and like the actual trails themselves, the terrain changes, especially up in the mountains and, you know, closures and, you know, assholes making go arounds where they shouldn't change. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so Saxon Mountain, which is one of the other links that I did give you, I was doing an update for that one. And I had to go out there and do it because the sheriff there had called me. They had had a, we'd had so much rain that they had just been landslides and the telephone pole had come down and he just wanted somebody to find out if there was any damage further up the trail. So I went up there and took some images and pictures and there was only one new rock, but there was a new rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fun trail, man.
Whoa.
That's one. Make you think about your life choices.
Okay,
that's a big rock.
For the people listening, imagine effectively a cliff to the right and effectively a vertical rock wall to the left. And you're not just going flat, you're climbing over what looks like was a landslide.
Yeah, there are actually three of those landslides along this about a half a mile long portion of Shelf Road.
Jesus, is that?
Oh, man.
How? And presumably that little spot you're on in this picture changes. Is that wide enough for anything wider? I wasn't going to put the S word out there. But
no, you can say it. Yeah.
S word.
Is there can you fit anything wider than a Wrangler through there comfortably?
No. There have been people that have put reports in that they've gotten, you know, a full size ram through there. I wouldn't try it. It's just way too much. You're going to have to put, where you kind of see my door there underneath the rock. Oh, you need to put that guy. You kind of saw my door underneath the rock there. I would expect you'd have to go up on that with your tire. And that's too hairy for me. Just one slip and you're going
on that rock.
Yeah.
So down below you there is the city of Georgetown, 3,000 feet to the lake.
Hey, I know where Georgetown is. I've been there.
There you go. Yeah,
that's a what movie is it where he's just bouncing down the hill over and over again? God.
And they actually had a couple of rolls down that hill. And two years ago, we went through an issue where the sheriff tried to close it and he was just kind of trying to advocate for its closure. He doesn't like it. For a number of reasons, but the main reasons were there had been a couple rock falls in the last 2 years and had made a couple tight spots where you get too close to the edge and you get a person who's a little too free or has too much of an edge there. Yeah, Georgetown is right below there. You can see
there's 70 down there.
Very, very pretty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gorgeous. It is a gorgeous trail. But the video, the beginning there that you saw where you kind of see that obstacle at, it was raining that day. And I was just doing the update and I had to go up it and then come back down it. And I was done. I didn't want to do it anymore. I vowed I didn't want to do it anymore, but I still do it. I still like doing that one. I did it again the following summer. I did not make it there before the incident in July.
That's a bummer. Yeah. I mean,
it's all right.
You know,
it's expensive. It'll be stronger now when I get back. So that's the nice part about it is that, you know, it'll have a new axle in it, new Dynatrack, and, the only parts that won't be new in terms of the steering and stuff are the actual wheels themselves. So,
Those are shot at you coming back across.
And continuing with Duratracks after this?
Yeah, probably for the time being. Somebody's been trying to talk me into just going ahead and going to 37s. And I might do that when I finally break these particular tires. So I probably got another 10,000, 15,000 miles on these tires. And then that's once that's done, I'll see. These were the DuraTrax wear really well. That's, I put a lot of, you know, daily driver miles on my Jeep, and they have been really good in that, in reference to just how long they've lasted.
Yeah, they held up really well on lighter vehicles, and they hit a cliff. And as you probably know, you know, they're amazing. And then they're just like, I'm done.
I love DuraTrax. Might have been sitting for 6 months. I expect them to be rotted out, and I'm done now. So
supposedly there's a DuraTrax RT out now that's a little beefier on the sidewall, which has always been its point of contention for heavier.
The two flats that I've had from it have been sidewall related.
Yeah.
And one was in Grand Junction, miles from anywhere, and with a broken jack. But to the tires, I will say this about the tire. The tire went for 13 miles. Not 13. Good Lord. It went for 3 miles on flat. I was going, you know, 5 miles an hour, but it did get to somebody who was able to help me. But man, it was rough. It was rough going, because I wasn't expecting to run into anybody. It was the middle of Grand Junction on a weekday. No, I was almost at the Utah border.
Oh, jeez. That's out there.
That's why
you went almost Utah border back to Grand Junction on a flat.
No. I just went to somebody who could help me. Yeah.
Okay.
It was just some guy who I never got. I can't remember. I think his name was Mike, and he was leaving his house, and I'm just like, man, do you have a jack? I just need to borrow a jack. And he happened to have, he had a lift and an air hammer, and was like pulling into a discount tire. It was beautiful. Which was nice after holding my breath for, you know, the previous hour getting to where I was. So
I can feel your relief there. My soul, I can feel that. Mm-hmm. Like,
the broken jack is terrible, because you start to look around and you're like, all right, how can I like back this truck up into something to put a tire? Like, is there a rock I can just lift the diff on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Nothing like that where I was at either. There were some rutted areas, and I was kind of thinking maybe I can get this tire up this way. Mm-hmm. And every time I would try to get it angled such, I was like, nope, this isn't going to work. So, and then I have my wife with me, and I'm like, I go out by myself all the time. I tell people, if you're going to go out by yourself, you know, have the means to get yourself rescued. And I did. I had a satellite messenger. If it came down to it, I would have called for help. Yep. I was just trying not to use that if I didn't have to.
Which one do you carry?
I carry the SpotX.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, those two have come a long way over the last few years, you know.
Yeah, I mean, for the piece, I mean, it's the base price, I think, is like $250 or $300 a year. And then you start adding on a couple of different extras, like the SAR rescue coverage and extra kind of coverage for certain situations. And it starts to make sense if you're doing stuff like I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be out there by yourself, quite frankly, I mean, there's a lot of people that off-road and get themselves into this kind of crap and have no business doing it without any means of rescuing themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and experience goes a long way to that, but shit still happens.
Yeah. I mean, even if you just have the iPhone these days, doesn't the iPhone have a satellite rescue thing that you can press with certain models?
Oh, it's got something like that. I don't know what the confines of needing, you know, service or anything like
that. Yeah, I'm not an iPhone person, so check your local listings.
I still have a tiny kid, so I'm not either.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Oh,
that's like there
BlackBerry.
You go. Oh yeah, that's, I mean, it's big. I like the BlackBerry kind of aspect to it. It's kind of nice for the old person in me. I have the smaller orange puck, but I wanted the two-way messenger, so that's what I got that for.
Yeah.
So.
Oh shit! I gotta remember to charge a whole bunch of shit for a second.
Highly recommend it. Yeah, you should always have that with you. I actually have to charge mine now, because if I get my Jeep back, I'm going out this weekend.
So let's back up. And I just want to like set the stage for everybody who's listening to you for the first time. So
yeah, I'm sorry.
You've been off-roading for a little while. You have an extremely bright yellow two-door JK Wrangler that is hopefully.
Yep, I've been wheeling that thing since 2016 or so.
Yep.
And so 8 or 9 years this year.
Hopefully 100% back under its own power by the time this show is in people's ears. And and you write for a website called Trails Off Road, which
I do.
Which, if people haven't explored it, it's the dream for everybody who sits there and likes to read trip reports, because you basically get to live out every trail, you know, that you may or may not ever get a chance to run. And you know, and you're out there doing a bunch of it in like territory where it's like ideal visuals, you know?
Yeah.
So why don't you take us through a couple of the 2022, 2023 trips you did with it and where you've gone?
Well, so we kind of looked at Saxon Mountain. I did a lot of work on that one, just because since it's so close to Georgetown, it's real popular with a lot of people, for a whole host of reasons. I mean, and you get the fun part about that particular trail is that you get both ends of people. You get people who will leave a trip report on Trails Off Road saying it's the difficulty is too hard. Even though it's a 5 down the middle, like it's too difficult. This isn't really that difficult. I'm like, well, you've got to take into account that you're driving on a shelf road at 2,000 to 3,000 feet above the city. That one was fun. Most of that area got redone, including the Democrat Mountain, that ended my day. Bard Creek in that area too. All of that area up there. I love wheeling in that area. So if it had to be a place that I ended it, that's it. I think since the last time I saw you guys, I did Red Cone for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Red Cone is one of the more famous trails in Colorado. It goes up to
one of the more well known. Yeah.
Okay. And I never know, because I hadn't heard of it until I moved out to Colorado, but I also hadn't done as much wheeling.
Like Black Bear, Red Cone, Engineer Pass, those are, you know, add two or three more and you make up the most well-known stuff.
Well, and I don't know why I wasn't afraid of this one, but it's the one that you hear about when you first start wheeling, and I was kind of hesitant to do it by myself. So my friend Troy hauled out with his built up JT, and we kind of rolled up there, and it's not nearly as bad as you think it is, at least as you've heard. If you don't have a problem with high altitude stuff, if you don't have a problem with being up at that kind of a level, it's really nothing different than any other trail. It's just, there's no margin for error in a lot of places. But some of them, like there's some downhill portions where it's real hard to get out of the valley and the gully that you're in. So I can't imagine, unless you're speeding or doing it late in the year. So a couple of years ago, there was somebody that did it and posted their video to Facebook. They were just sliding down the last hill. And I'm just like, that's just insane to me. Like, that's how you die.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the top of Red Cone. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's very Ouray. It is very, I wish we'd had less clouds that day, but it's one of my things I want to go back and do this summer. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place to do drone video though, because you're up there and it's just, there's no trees to run into anything.
What is the tree line there? Of course, I just
clicked to the trees.
No, you're fine.
What's the tree line and what's the actual top of Red Cone? Like 13?
I think the top of Red Cone is 12.806, if my memory serves, which it usually doesn't.
For us who live almost at sea level, it might as well be.
My house is at 7,000 feet. Yeah,
exactly. My house, I think, is probably at 7. So,
yeah, there you go, Chris. That's the cone, the red, and the coneness. And the cone is just a slide.
That is beautiful.
And it is rusted red. And so that's actually not too terrible. It doesn't really get that thin up there at the top. There's a hill down on the back side of that as you go down towards Webster Pass, and it's very steep, and it can get a little slidey in the rocks. But like I said, it's kind of gullied, so it doesn't really hit you that hard. So it's gorgeous, though. I wasn't quite prepared for how pretty it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine like in, you know, golden hour, if you can possibly make it down before the sun sets, like that.
Unbelievable. And it's one way. So once you get to this place, you can't turn around. Shit. Yeah, once you get to the previous summit, where you saw me kind of the front of the vehicle, excuse me, you can only go one way from that direction.
Huh.
And okay. It started to hail when we got up to the top of that red cone part there. Basically the very top up there.
So. That's something. Hail is always it's good for a quick.
Oh, there you go. You can see the back side of it from that picture. Yeah.
So it's just that's the back side.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is.
So where would you rate that on your Colorado must do for anybody who's not
it's right up there.
A JK on 37s. You can
easily do this in 35s. You can probably do this in 33s. There's a lot of optional lines. The majority of the difficult parts of Red Cone are on the ascent and well before the edge of the timberline. And after that, it's all just kind of this relatively easy rock and gravel. There's a lot of ruts underneath where the snow kind of gets hung up, where people kind of get up into where they close it for part of the year, but there's still a lot of water damage and from years of damage. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's rated, somewhere in the middle of 4 or 5. And I wouldn't rate it any higher or harder than that.
Okay.
It really wasn't that difficult. Argentine Pass is kind of that 3 and 4, 5 range. And this is where I'd put it. It's very similar to, but if you're part of the reason why I say it's similar to the Ouray, it's a lot easier to get to. It's a lot closer to Denver. Okay. This is, right off of 70. Trailhead's within 20, 25 minutes of 70 max. Like it's not even that. I think that's probably way too much.
That's great.
But yeah. And once you get up there, there's a whole network of trails. Webster Pass runs in two directions, one to this little weird town called Montezuma in the middle of nowhere. And then the other direction will take you back towards Bailey in Colorado. So, and everything in between, there's all kinds of trails and lots of weird stuff to check out. So it's a lot of it. Red Cone's one of the ones that I was really upset it took me as long to do, because now it's going to be part of my yearly rotation.
Really? Okay. That's interesting and good to know as I plan a trip west for sometime this year, probably end of summer.
Ross, yeah. Highly recommend getting this one. Like it's right in the middle of everything. Like,
yeah, I'm
it's
looking
an easy day trip. So if you're trying to get rid of your family for a while, and you want to get up to, be like, I'm going to hang off a cliff for a while. See you guys in 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's a great way to do it if you're spending any time right along the highway there.
You're also spot on. It's your boy Ryan at Trails Off Road rates it at 5 with a 6 on the optional difficulty level.
That sounds about right. Ryan would know. He's pretty good. He's got a pretty good G2.
So close to Denver. It's crazy. Like, I'm sure when you were on last, I told you my best friend lives in Denver. Actually, last time we talked, he had a Tacoma on, like, lifted with standard shit. Now he's got a TRD Rock Warrior Tundra. I wonder if I could steal his truck.
I mean, you can get away with a lot with the Tundra.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, I'm not telling you I'm doing this with it, but we're gonna do this. Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, that is so cool. So,
yeah, don't do Saxon in your friend's truck.
No. We did not Silver, Switzerland passed in his Tacoma. Okay.
All right. Well, then which he should be okay. He should be okay.
We did it in like 2 feet of snow. It was, it was like the first week of April. It was a shit show.
Okay.
he drove for the first, like, probably half mile. And it was me, him, and my wife. And we were kind of like, this is going to be fine, right? And then it got to the point of we're either going forward or we're, backing up a half mile.
So I'm going to have the guys from Colorado Rescue on. And that is one of the biggest rescue spots in the early spring.
Switzerland
Trail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
because people try to get out a little too early.
One of the prettiest things I've ever seen in my life is that trail, given I haven't done Red Cone or Saxon or anything, but.
Well, no, but that's the thing is there's so much scenic of it here. It's hard. Yeah. It's, I am all for the scenic. Like I'll do, and we've talked about that before. Like I'm very much a scenic person when it comes to trails. I will do a rough trail if it means getting to a really cool spot. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the kind of person who's just going to do an out and back that doesn't have anything good on it, you know, to see just for the option to do something that might break my Jeep.
I
can do that on my own.
I use the word payoff a lot when it comes to stuff like that.
There you go. Yep.
You know,
that's like, exactly it.
Actually, I use it more in hiking than off-roading. Like, I'm game for a fucking gnarly hike, like a total rock scramble, if there's an awesome payoff. But if you have work your ass off for, you know, 3 hours each way to you know, stare at the side of a, like, tree, no. But
yeah,
like,
or to stare at a rock face then and a bunch of other trees. Yeah, exactly.
But if you get
it's the same thing for off-roading, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to replace an axle if I'd spent the whole day, you know, just doing some podunk trail that just went to nowhere. So Democrat's not the greatest, but it was decent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could do, trust me, man, you could do far worse for there to be a place for that kind of catastrophic failure.
Yeah, that's engineer.
That's engineer. That looks like I was just watching or reading. I can't remember. It looks like the Bolivian Death Road. Road, like shelf death, you know.
Yeah, this is the one portion of this trail that's really like that I remember. So, I remember there wasn't another soul in sight. That's why I was able to stop in the middle of the shelf road and run back and take that photo.
That's
cool. Yeah,
it's such a good photo.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It shows the drop off.
Yeah. As my wife hates pictures like that because A, she hates being on those trails. And then if she sees stuff like that, she's just like, why? Why would you show that stuff to me? And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see any of it.
And she's sitting passenger there too. So she probably loved it.
No, she wasn't there for that trip. She did that with me. No. She wouldn't go. She didn't do Saxon with me. No, she won't do that noise. No, no red tone. No.
She's like, I'm not even liking your post. You're on your own.
Yeah, I think she was just like, so your life insurance is in check, right? I just want to make sure. And it covers stupid, right? Just make sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
it covers stupid.
I mean, seriously.
Sorry, Ross.
That is a great, if we titled our episodes with, you know, some witty bullshit,
does it cover stupid? It would be
does life insurance cover stupid? Yeah.
I mean,
hey man, stupid is where the most
I think it's a great name for a podcast. Don't nobody steal that. I like it.
Yeah.
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 Does it, we'll just call it, does it cover stupid? That's the new show.
Does it cover stupid?
It's like, are you garbage, but for adventures.
Exactly. Yeah. Click on the one. The link I sent you, the Colorado High Country one. I think that's the. Let me double check. That's the one I sent you.
Ooh, that one's an hour long.
Oh, is that still the same run? That's still red.
I'd like to point out that the lowest elevation in Colorado. Again. The lowest elevation in Colorado is 3,300 feet, which is higher than most states.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the North Fork Swan. The last bullet point there.
Got it.
Yep. So this is in that same general area, Ross, if you're looking for stuff to do, it's even easier. This one would be one I would recommend for family.
Okay.
Like it's very high country. So you're up at, you know, 12,000 feet or so or more, but it's very flat on either side of you. There's not a whole lot of drop off or steep drop off in either direction. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever, like, we managed, you were talking about Golden Hour.
Yeah.
And we hit this trail, me and Trent hit this trail at the end of our day on our way out. And you dropped down in this little town called Montezuma and the sun was coming down and it was setting and it was friggin' amazing. But this is like that.
God,
I can't even
fucking
with it.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's 12,000 feet.
that's about 12,000 feet about there, I think. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay, so I'll talk my three selfish points here. First, my daughter is not even, she's just over a year and a half, so she's not coming on this trip. Second, this is a trip that I'm doing by myself. Third, I'm tapping into you as a potential tour guide. So.
Okay, yeah, come on up. Yeah, dude, I should have a Jeep by then. I'll take I will. If anybody calls me and asks me to do any of these trails, I will. The chances I will do these trails because I, Jen doesn't like doing the altitude stuff, so I need another excuse to go out there and do it. So, hey, this person's coming into out of town. Yeah. So,
done.
And she'll never listen to this, so I know I'm safe saying
that. Yeah. It's a rare day when our significant others listen to
She doesn't listen to mine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam, if you're listening to this, and oh no, she can probably hear me. If you're listening to this, send me
the
word.
Get called out either way.
Send me the word potatoes with no context. So what have you been driving?
Yeah, that's about the sketchiest plot there. I've been driving my wife's Camaro. Oh. And my mother-in-law's 1997 Saturn hatchback.
Oh, that's amazing. Saturn. It's still running.
Gotta do what you
gotta It's got 80,000 miles on it, man. Like they take care of it like it's nobody's business. It's like driving a lawnmower down the highway. Like the highway here is 75 miles an hour, guys, and it's 40 miles to the office. So it's just me in the right lane by myself and the semis.
Hells each way. God damn, that's
oh, brutal. That's nothing. I did, and that's it. Only takes me 40 minutes. I used to drive 45 minutes to an hour in traffic, and this is a straight shot to and from. So it's actually pretty nice with the wife's Camaro. I hate driving it, but it is fast.
What
it is very very fast.
What era Camaro is it?
It's a 2013 RS.
Okay, yeah. They get the job done.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not. She's not blowing the doors off anybody, but it's doing the work and it's paid off. So even better.
Mm, much better.
So
dare we ask what your actual job is? It's so weird. We talk about off-road stuff with so many people, and then like Chris and I work in marketing, you know, it's like we have this boring bullshit.
I work in cable TV.
Okay.
I work for one of the big three up here, and they're all in Colorado. So I'll just, that way that could be nice and ambiguous that way.
Yep.
But I mean, it's relatively decent. I enjoy it. They're actually the ones who brought me out here in 2015 from Illinois when I was working for a little MSO cable company. Yeah, I thought I told you that.
I
got the Chicago tattoo and everything.
Oh wow!
I
mean,
hey, I got out. I made it. Look at me.
You
I made
the Black
it.
Hawks.
My windy.
We have stuff. I love Illinois. I will always love Illinois. I will always love Chicago. But my mom passed away and I got laid off and I was just like, all right, well, here we go. Let's do this. Let's just go. Wow. So
okay, good for you.
It worked out. It really, really worked out. Like I wouldn't be doing all this stuff with all the rest of it with the Jeep and everything else if those events had not led that way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I did 40, it was a 45 minute commute from suburb to suburb. So it was using Elgin to Naperville and back every day. It was a pain in the ass. I hated it. So yeah.
Well, same amount of snow.
Yeah, but it melts here and it doesn't turn into gray.
Yeah.
The gray slush. Yeah. So we got 9 inches of snow here on Saturday and it's almost 2/3 of the way gone. So it'll probably be gone by Wednesday or Thursday this week.
Dude, that's wild. Cause when we had that deep freeze, we got about 4 to 5 inches here in Kansas City, which again, like my driveway faces north, so I have to shovel it always. But it hung around for, I think just last week is when the snow finally melted.
Yeah, dude. But like, you also were basically like the tundra for 3 weeks, you know?
Yeah, it was driving to a wrestling event and looking at the thermostat read -8. In the morning was not, mm-hmm. and being excited that's when it hit 11 on the way home, like positive 11. Yeah. And we were like, woohoo!
I don't want that.
Yeah. And it'll be 50 here, but you know, so we're at 7,000 feet here. Rampart Range is about 10 minutes from the house here, and it basically runs from Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs to a town called Sedalia. And it's at 9,000 feet. It's at its max there or so. And the weather is 100% different up there. And it's 15 minutes away or half an hour away if you take a little trail. It's near this house. It'll be 32 degrees and nice and sunny and melty. But, man, that sun goes down and it is
ice.
Deadly.
Yeah, once the sun goes down behind
I won't do it.
It's, anywhere. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're in a truck, you know.
Oh, in our living room here, it just, the sun goes down and the temperature in the room drops 10 degrees. And I'm just like, well, it's time to close the doors. And
you're affected by it quite a bit more at 7,000 feet than me at, which Google tells me I was looking at before is 150 feet above sea level.
There you go. You see? Know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, it takes some getting used to. So if you're going to come do this, I do highly recommend the boost thing.
The boost so oxygen.
the few times I've been to Denver and like I hiked at 10 the first time I was there, and I have pretty bad asthma. Like I was fine.
Really? Yeah. All right, then you're good to go, bro. Yeah. It is probably because you have bad asthma. You struggled your whole life to to breathe, and your body has gotten used to operating at a lower level of oxygen.
Probably.
Well, I would also say like less humidity and actual clean air at 10,000 feet than what you're used to being as close to the city and all of the stuff that you have over there.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you that too. Or just, once we got away from the city, it made a big difference.
You know, I was also young and lucky back then, so that was probably
I did all of my 14ers in my 20s. Dude, I get it. Yeah.
I wouldn't even think about that. I did all of my 14ers they're not gonna happen. I thought about it for about 10 minutes when I first moved here and then walked up a hill in Castle Rock and I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. What's where's that breaking point between like I'm seeing extra cool shit but like I'm just checking a box? Like the difference in what you see between 12 and 14 can't be the difference between 12 and 6, you know? Like it's a huge
12 and 14,000 feet. Yeah, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
No. As soon as you break that timberline and as soon as you kind of have, well, I mean, as soon as you break the timberline, that's usually when scenery opens up, just because you can see to your left and the right of you. The 10s and the 12s, the 12,000 feet, that's when you start to get into like the multiple mountain ranges that you can see out, in front of you. And that shit's just ridiculous. Like I remember standing on that trip and again, that Jeep was stock in that picture from Engineer. And I remember standing at Lookout Point, which is that kind of midway point along there where it's supposed to be the Coors Light can. I think it's supposed to be this mountain range. Mm-hmm. And you see a mountain range stacked up behind a mountain range, stacked up behind a mountain range. And you're just up there and just like, this is ridiculous. So yeah, it does change a little bit. So like what I always tell people, if you don't have the balls, then go just above the timberline, check it out, get back down. Mm-hmm. But if you can stomach it, go just that extra, 1,000 feet so that you can see over that other mountain range or at least through it. It'll make all the difference for you in that memory.
Yep. Yeah. I was watching Long Way Up recently and like what they saw at 14,000 feet looked awesome and everybody was dying, but it didn't look much more awesome than 12, enjoyment is actually kind of important for the stuff that we're doing. You know, this isn't life or death. We have to actually come out the backside of things and say, A, it was worth it.
Well,
B, like I'm getting satisfaction from it.
Right. And there's a principal difference between like hiking and, doing it on, doing it behind a wheel of any kind of a motorized vehicle. I mean, I'm much more likely to try to ascend another 1,000 feet if I don't have to climb it.
Yeah.
But so I think that wherever that line is, wherever that delta is, it's a little bit different based on what your mode of recreation is.
100%.
But yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. And
Ross, I will say standing on top of a 14er and being the tallest thing around, like when I did longs, like you can look in any direction. You are the tallest mountain around. That's kind of rad. But
what I will say about
it was a miserable hike to do that.
Yeah, I don't want that. Like, I know my breaking point for satisfaction.
So what I would recommend to you, if you want to get as close as you possibly can, do Argentine Pass and McClellan Mountain.
Okay.
Those are the highest trails that you can get to within an hour of Denver. And honestly, probably in most roads, with the exception, I think, of Blanca Peak down on the southern side of Colorado Springs. So,
I have been opening these on my actual functional computer as you talk about them on the Trails Off-Road yes. website. And I actually have all of them already in my favorites. So, yeah, I hope you're serious about that offer to revisit.
Dude, this one, you don't even have to ask me. I will do this one all day, every day. In fact, okay. I will even, if you want, I can probably arrange with the guy who owns a place up there called the Tundra Hut. We can stop and use their grill and stuff for lunch.
Let's do it.
Yeah, if you want to stay at 11,000 feet, man, that's the place to do it too. We tried to do it and my wife couldn't breathe, so we didn't stay.
Yeah, Chris, Chris, you and your family had a very bad time staying at what
we
was
were
that?
We were at 10. We were over 10 in Breck. Yeah. And so, well, no, that was the one in March was St. Mary's Glacier above Idaho Springs, and that was over 10. And that was like just a house. And that was when we figured out, all right, we cannot stay above 10. Mm. If it's 9, for whatever reason, totally fine. All six of us, but like, it's the point now where I am actually the one who's affected the most by the altitude. The kids are like hit or miss, but it really messes with me now, which is hilarious because I'm the one who's been the one running all over the mountains when I was younger. Like, it's should have seen it coming. I had an uncle who eventually got to that point too, but jeez, just me.
Yeah.
Let me show you this real quick, man. I haven't posted this just yet, but this image here.
Say, I recognize WordPress when I see it.
There you go, man. Hey, I've gotten very good at this recently. Jeff. I feel very proud of myself. It's a steep learning curve, man. I didn't, I got there. So one of the things they let you do is do this split picture.
Oh, it's awesome.
So
the slider?
This.
Will Bird does that on Hooniverse. He does that with like trunk open, trunk closed.
So this is the Argentine Central Railway. Excuse me, and the summit of McClellan Mountain. And every last one of these people is wearing a dress or a suit. Jesus. There are some ridiculous pictures that I found while I was doing some of the research for this stuff.
Is that?
But this is that same spot 100 years, more than 100 years later.
That's awesome.
You can still climb up there.
Scroll. Oh, man. Okay. People listening need to actually put eyes on this. This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can either check in the show or by the time this is aired, it will be on our blog. So, this was it. I want to go back and get the exact same spot, which I need to do. I'll probably do this sometime this summer, but it is the same spot where these pictures are taken. It's the same hill.
That's fucking crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really. But it was a tourist train. They did a lot of it. It brought ore and stuff down, but it was largely a tourist train. Mm. So, yeah,
crazy. That's so cool. Before we end up talking about, you know,
everything
greater Denver area and off road in general for the next 3 hours,
because I would. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm totally
pending,
okay
pending, assuming
you gotta edit this.
And planning for the yellow JK to be back in your possession sooner rather than later. What do you have, at least hopefully locked and loaded, for 24? What kind of trips?
Well, so with dates, I've got Vegas on the calendar. So we're headed to Vegas to do a week there, and we typically spend a week there, and then we'll do 4 days of it, you know, running around hotels and casinos. And then I'll try to find 2 or 2.5 days where we're out and about on trails. So
okay.
Last time I did that, I managed to get myself into some trouble, and I don't want to do that again. So
I got a guy for you, though.
It's very wet in Vegas.
Yep.
Did you meet the guys from Snore?
No, the Rogue Overland guys are all Vegas-based too, so I got some contacts.
Oh,
for
cool! awesome! I involuntarily met the guys from Snore, which is the Southern Nevada Off-Road Recovery guys. Yeah, which are great guys. Thanks a lot, appreciate you.
Which some of the Rogue guys might have been a part of that too.
Yeah,
it's entirely possible.
Sounds like they've been on the same trail at the same time.
Yeah, and that's a story that has a statute of limitations. Allegedly. So.
So in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll hear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I have to check your local listings. I've got that. I'm going to do, I want to do Arizona probably in April. And then this summer, this summer I'm going to hit it hard because I did all of those updates for the Jeep or for the Trails Off-Road stuff this last season. I will be spending pretty much all of this coming season exploring new stuff.
Cool.
We introduced something called Scout Routes on the site a few years ago, so it makes it a lot easier for me to get into an area and do, you know, scout out 8 or 10 trails as opposed to doing 2 to 3 full write-ups. Mm-hmm. And then we can go back later if people are like, this one is really cool. We should do I need a full write-up for this one. Mm-hmm. So I want to spend some time around, not Grand Junction, but kind of in between there and Glenwood Canyon. There's a lot of trails back there that are just, you never hear of, but the map just lights up when I pull up some of the stuff that I used to research on, and I want to check it out. I want to get some eyes on the ground, because every time we put eyes on ground on some of those trails, they turn out really cool. Mm-hmm. So just want to see them.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then later this year, we've got Overland Expo. We'll be here in Loveland in October, I think, or August. It's
August normally.
Really?
It's August. Excuse me.
Yeah. October's normally Virginia.
Okay. Yeah. When in August is it?
Typically third week, Ross. It's like 20.
Is that for Arizona or for Colorado?
For Colorado.
Okay.
That is not inconsistent with when I was looking at being out there.
It's the 23rd through the 25th, Ross, of August.
And everybody's going to be up in Loveland. They're not going to be down by where we'd go.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, you'd be by yourselves on the trails, because literally everybody's hanging out in Loveland.
Everybody's at the expo at that point. So, and I only want to spend one day at the show. So as much as I
25 south out of Loveland is hilarious when that show closes. The amount of money.
Yeah. I just wait. Typically, if I'm there... at least an hour before the show closes, then I just stay for at least an hour after. There's no point.
Yeah.
Like, you may as well not. So, plus, if you stay around long enough, pro tip, stay around till after the end of the show on the last day. Vendors don't want to take their stuff home. So,
some of them just really great throw it at you. Yes.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So, as far as what else happens for the rest of the year, I'm going to hopefully play some audibles and pick up some cool trips here and there. I did some research on the Owyhees, and me and my wife are working on probably going to make a trip out there before it gets too cold, but while it's not too hot either.
Is that where in the country Idaho. Is that? Idaho. Okay.
Excuse me. Idaho. She wants to do Arizona because she spent a lot of time there growing up. And then Idaho just has a bunch of really great, like, backcountry looking routes. Mm-hmm. And it kind of looks like a mixture of Colorado desert and it's really lush in some places. Mm-hmm. There you go. I think that's the dude's video that made me want to go. Yeah.
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 Idaho.
There's like New Zealand vibes to that too.
Montana. That stuff all seems.
Yeah.
Like the off-road community has really hit, you know, places like Colorado and Utah and everything hard, but
yeah,
that area of the country, you know, like,
yep,
that seems still relatively.
And that is, wild. I mean, honestly, that's, yeah. And that's why I do, I mean, honestly, that's why I do the stuff with the trails, with Trails Off Road, because you know, all the,
I know that guy.
That's sorry. Amazing.
This, yeah, I know that guy. This feels very normal to me. It's a cow. Like, we have those every time I go out.
Like, I know. I love my wife to death, but every time we go out and see a cow in the tree, I'm like, you know, we saw them, right? We went to Vegas. We saw farms of them, and many of them hamburgers now. And like, it's now these are just wild cows that probably won't be a hamburger.
That is a huge cloud in the background of that picture. Holy shit, I can hear that.
I actually pretty sure shortly after that in that video, he talked about some weather coming through.
I just saw it super dark.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that in Colorado. There isn't a lot of that in Colorado, just kind of that wide open, you know, prairie mountain, if you will. And it looks gorgeous. So I think it's perfect for, you know, people who aren't thrill seekers when it comes to hanging off the side of cliffs like I like to do.
Yeah.
But it's great for like a family vacation. It looks perfect. So
it's Irish looking, like just green and rolling.
How much of that's the color grading though?
I don't know, so it's hard to say. Well, there's a problem with media. We know it's not Irish. What's the name? I don't know if it's Idaho or if it's somewhere else in that area. There's a trail in that vicinity that is supposedly absolutely gnarly, and I, for the life of me,
oh, I'm pretty sure I clicked on it when I was looking that one up. What's that one called, Chris? I can't remember the name of that trail. Is it listed on there?
It just had Owyhee Canyonlands.
That's actually probably the Owyhee one that I looked up.
Let me see if I can stop sharing it to a description. See if he's got more.
Oh, come.
We'll figure it out as soon as we get off.
I'll call. Get it.
Man, he's got a list of locations, but I don't have a trail name. It's got Succor Creek, Succor, Leslie Gulch, Juniper Gulch.
That's it.
Birch Creek Ranch. That's
it. Leslie Gulch.
Leslie Gulch. Leslie Gulch.
Yeah, I think it's Leslie Gulch.
And I'm not sharing my screen, so you guys can't see all my recommended YouTube videos. So.
Let's see here.
Jesus Christ. I'll figure
Meridian. Yeah. This is exciting radio, guys.
Yeah, for everybody listening, you probably love us more than ever.
I was going to say, my recommended videos are all the Story Till Now videos on that video.
Yeah. I envy that guy's ability to edit a video, man. Oof.
Dude, he is fucking good. He had one the other night that I actually got my wife interested into because it was just all of his cinematic drone shots, and it was like 2 hours long to like nice music.
Story, yeah. He tells a good story. And that's the thing about him. That's why it's fun to listen to, because the visuals are great, but he just tells a really good story while he's doing it. So
yeah,
you
want to
keep watching it.
That was probably almost a year ago that he was on.
Oh, have him.
6 months ago.
Yeah.
Sean was awesome. Really enjoyable to talk to, and I mean,
oh yeah, he did. Yeah,
he also had a broken Jeep around that time.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, but he's got like three of them, doesn't he?
At the time, he only had the one.
Okay. I'm just thinking tire sets.
Through line.
The last one I saw was the Trek.
This through line Jeeps about being broken.
Look, I had a talk with
That's it. Morrison Jeep Trail. Sorry, that's what I was thinking.
There you go. No, Morrison Jeep Trail. I looked that one up. I talked with a guy from the Philippines doing the Philippine Overland Expo. Like, they're essentially just a jungle, 177 mile long jungle trek, jungle trek. And I asked him, so how many Jeeps do you have in your event? And he's just like, two. And out of like 35 teams or something else like that. And like, so what's the number one vehicle? He's like, the Hilux. And I was like, of course it is. Because to be fair, and I told him, to be fair, I wouldn't want a Jeep in a jungle either, because mine breaks all the time. I don't trust it.
And in a place like that, parts availability is the most important thing.
Yeah,
Chris, I wonder if that's we had Marvin from Flex Reaction Rollovers on recently, and they were talking about some of those. Chris, where was that? He was talking about the
Malaysian Rainforest Challenge.
That's the one.
Okay, yeah,
and that sounds
similar. This is the second year these guys are doing it, so they're real new. Plus, apparently in the Philippines, it's super expensive to, you know, get a vehicle and offer a vehicle there. You can't really bring them in for events. Like, there's a whole law about that.
Well, they don't have show and display.
They're trying to fix that apparently. And a 2-liter Jeep will cost you $100,000. Yeah.
Dude, for us, we have four times as many cylinders. Or twice as many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where I was just like, oh, that's a big price tag for like, and not like a JL. That's a JK.
God.
Oh. So you're not even getting like a fun turbo.
No. No. So I think they said it had the turbo, but you weren't getting anything newer than a JK. Yeah.
And that's a man, right? I mean, what is the currency?
It's probably a Filipino.
It is a
Filipino peso.
So let's do 100,000 Philippine pesos to dollars, and it is.
Oh no, no, that was $100,000 English. Oh. Yeah, or $100,000 US. Yeah, yeah. Let's not start converting that crap into $500,000 and stuff. It's not that bad. It's bad enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough at $100,000 for that. I love my Jeep, but I wouldn't spend $100,000 for it.
I have very few off-road vehicles worth
$100,000. Well, I might have by now.
Yeah, it was like accumulated over the years. Yes. We're getting close.
You know what? Thank you for saying it out loud, Chris, because Ross just said it under his breath over there. Dude. Like he was being slick.
No,
I did a bunch of maintenance the other day, so that's why I'm feeling it. So that's
my first thought was, how much have I spent on my own truck? And then how much was that 392 press Jeep that it was $95,945. after options, and that was a 2020.
Yeah,
it says 2024 on my spreadsheet, but I think it was a 2023 because I don't think it had the new grill or the side airbags.
I'm paying attention. I'm still clicking through this guy's Oregon video, and I feel like every 15 to 30 seconds in his video is a completely different landscape.
Uh-huh. It's a movie. Yeah, it's a movie unto itself. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of movies, and what that makes me think of looking at the left portion of that, who wants to go to Devil's Tower and get some Close Encounter vibes going?
Do you know how far away Devil's Tower is from anything?
No.
It is not.
Is there anything around it?
No, it is. So like all the cool stuff in Wyoming, or is it Wyoming or Nebraska?
I think it's Wyoming.
That's what
I start typing in.
Yeah, all the cool stuff is like northwest side of Wyoming, Ross. It is like the farthest northeast of Wyoming. And don't get me wrong, like it is an amazing visual. It is not near anything.
And it will never do Spielberg justice, actually seeing it in person, I'm sure, but I think
so. You know, I'll give you a weird place I went to for alien vibes though. So right before I had the transmission rebuilt under that fantastic Mopar warranty, I actually coded on my way to New Mexico for the transmission that I ended up getting replaced. But we went to New Mexico. We spent a couple of days in Roswell, just kind of putzing around, being weird down there. And there are some off-road trails out there. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a loose definition of a trail. That's kind of, they're just, you know,
dirt roads.
Yeah, exactly. I did write this one up. This is a scout route. So if you're listening and you want to go check it out, the road to the alleged UFO landing site and skip site is on the website. And it was fun. I mean, it's just a bunch of holes in the ground and you're like, well, I mean, it could be, you know, something silly or it could just be a hole in the ground.
Speculators. It's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, but you really can't get into too much trouble. But that was about as close as alien vibes. It's a weird town, though. Like if you want to go check out some weird town, that's a fun place to just go walk around and do some people watching. Oh yeah,
yeah. We don't talk about that stuff, but there are some towns and deep in the woods of Maine and New Hampshire, you get that too, where like town just has a feel, something weird, you know?
Yeah. That's that Montezuma town I was talking about up north. You got to be a little careful when you drive through town. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Just keep going. It was like 12 residents, and I hope none of them are listening. But if you are, please don't.
It says I have.
Don't find me.
Still have it open on my other computer because I was going to look at going there.
So the population you said
don't stay in Montezuma
in 2020.
Well, and when I get my Chris? My image search came up with Montezuma Ghost Town a lot.
It is. It's the same town. Yeah. There's still 12 people that live there year round.
This isn't going to sound good at all. If you go to Google Maps and type in
stabby vibes,
Montezuma,
right?
What'd you say?
It's got stabby vibes, right?
It's got Hills Have Eyes vibes. Yeah, it's got a little like.
Yeah. Montez, I don't think they have a hotel, and I wouldn't want to stay there if they did. They keep to themselves mostly, and as long as you don't stop in town or speed through town at 45 miles an hour, they'll leave you alone too.
Oh shit, that's actually so my best friend has a They have like a little ski thing in Silverthorne, which is quite.
Yeah, it's right down the road. Yeah, this is just Montezuma is just a little bit further up to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Kristen, that's a territory you're familiar with too. So
yeah, it's over
I drive
by Keystone.
Past a number of ski resorts in Keystone to get here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for those of us that don't ski, it's in the mountains.
it's in the middle of ski town. Yeah, or it's in the middle of the
it's
ski
like
towns.
A Basin. Yeah, it's like just east of A Basin.
And these are all old, and all the trails around them, they're all old mining trails. The last time I was here, I think we were talking about Hunky Dory Trail. Yeah. And Hunky Dory runs right out of Montezuma, or used to run out of Montezuma Trail. Town of Montezuma.
All the hotels listed for it are actually over by Keystone.
yeah, exactly.
It's not far. Exactly. I mean, I'm on Google Maps. It's a mile and a half, 2 miles as a bird flies. Most
but there is there's no cell phone coverage in Montezuma though.
Town does give stabby vibes, like based on the Google Maps photos. Like
just don't slow down, don't stay. They don't, I think they've reached the place with the Jeep and the off-road crowd in general where they're like, look, if you don't tear through our town, if you don't, you know, hang out in our town and, you know, cause a ruckus, then we'll leave you alone. Yeah. But otherwise, look, Idaho Springs is near there and in that general area. And I will never forget the first or second summer that we were here and we were coming back from a trail near, it was probably Argentina or something nearby. And some dude came out, like, and this is a regular, like, town. Like, there's, you know, 45 houses on each side of the street. And this dude, shirtless, just comes running out of his house screaming at me. And I don't know what he was yelling to this day, and I don't care. All I know is that I kept driving, and I'm like, that's why we don't stop in these little towns. You just don't do it.
Idaho Springs is a legit city. Like, there's a Safeway. Like, there's... I mean, it's a very weird Safeway.
Yeah. I think he just had that. He had enough that day. Whatever. For some reason, my Jeep was the source of his ire, and he wanted to take it out on me.
It sounds like you experienced a close encounter with Colorado's version of Florida Man.
That sounds about right. You know what? If Colorado had a Florida, it would be Idaho Springs. Like that is. I feel like, or Denver area.
I'm going to tell my wife that in a little bit, and she's going to absolutely agree with you. So,
if anybody is listening in Idaho Springs,
and I know some people who live in Evergreen, which is nearby there, and they know. Yeah, they all know. They all know. And I think they're all shaking their head right now. Yep. They're like, it's a weird spot to stop for a beer.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Speaking of beer, there is a brewery, was it Eastbound or Westbound and Down Tap Room or whatever? Like, that's actually decent food, and that's good. But, like, in the daylight.
I think Bose is in there, too. Yeah,
yes.
Bose.
That's the
Bose
pizza place.
Yeah. Oh, that's not that
even
pizza's amazing.
Close to where Smokey and the Bandit was. Not even close.
I said Westbound and Down, but not Eastbound. Westbound.
As in Westbound I-70 and down. Get it?
Okay.
Sorry. I know it. Sometimes you got to explain it to the folks who live in the flatland, but there's areas of our state that go up and down.
Us lowlanders, it's,
So I will say there is an Instagram account called I-70 Things that I absolutely enjoy the shit out of.
he's gotten nationally popular in the last year or so. It's been kind of awesome to watch because there's some weird shit that happens here, man. Like one of the things I was talking about recently with somebody about like advocacy stuff. We were talking about, you know, I keep getting told that there's all these, you know, wild goats on these off-road trails. And I'm like, I never see goats on off-road trails ever, but I have seen goats every single time I've gone to Georgetown and like not in Georgetown, on my way to Georgetown, on the side of the highway, just watching, you know, cars doing 70 miles an hour past it. It just doesn't care. And like
coincidence.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, there's more goats on the highway than there are on these off-road trails.
I mean, they're big horn sheep. They're not goats, but I got close.
Oh, okay. Yeah. getting late in my day.
No. That wasn't a judgment on you. That was a judgment on what I could Google fast enough. That was not a judgment on you. So you're
not even pulling from a source of knowledge. You're just cheating.
Okay. I was on I-70's thing's Instagram page, and I was like, wait, mammals.
Yeah. Now, there are some cool places. You can stop at Georgetown. There's a viewing center. You can see them. They're usually out there someplace. Yeah, the only other cool thing that I did that I should tell you guys about was the ice thing. And then I sent you a link for that.
Yeah.
It's the Georgetown ice racing one.
So I think it was in your drone shot earlier.
It was. I saw that and I was like, I'm going to bring that up later.
Well, I'll bring it up. Yeah. I don't care. So before people freak out, it's the lake. When they do this, it's 2 feet deep.
Yeah,
I think the minimum depth has to be like 18 inches, and then they go to an extra 6 inches for safety. And then they roll like, I think 30 or 40 cars out there at any given time. And then you could just, there's races. Mm-hmm. There's the, you know, straight up, you know, you timed races. And then there is the just kind of a free run, which is what I was doing here, where you just kind of line up with these cars. And as each person gets to the line, you just kind of barrel gun it. You know, one person goes and then the other person goes. Mm-hmm. And then you know, left or right. And then you just have, you know, spend a couple hours spinning out and running around the top of that lake.
That's pretty cool.
It's gorgeous.
Is that in the same
vicinity? I like that they have staging for you.
Yeah. Well, it's a safety thing. They're trying to keep it, you know, legit. They don't want people running into each other out there. So, because I'm sure, I think they started doing this free part of it a few years ago, at least opening it up to more people. They do all kinds, like during the week, the state brings people out here to learn how to drive on ice. Mm-hmm. Like you can drive a passenger car down that hill there and out onto the lake. But it's so much fun. I tried to do a scout route for it. And so for Trails Off Road. And so I don't think I can pull it up in time, but it's essentially just a GPX track over the lake. And I cleaned it up.
What's the disclaimer on seasonal use for that?
We talked about it. And we're like, you know what? Like as much as I would love to publish it, I think we'll just do a blog post about it, because I'm like, somebody's going to drive there. Cause there's you know, they just put a gate up in the summer and someone's going to drive their crap into the water. Oh, and then we're going to have to explain it.
That's one of the first episodes of The Office where he GPSs himself straight into the lake.
And I really wish that it wasn't something that we had to worry about, but it's just one of those things where I don't want to be an office episode. Yeah, I don't
want
to do that.
Trails Off Road don't want anything to do with that.
We have a lawyer, guys. We don't want to have the kind of money
the
for lawyers.
Singular
we have a lawyer
behind. Who's probably
That's a vintage Top Gear UK bit too, of like the sat nav telling him to drive into the sea, and he's like, "No, I'm not driving into the sea." Like, and then there's some idiot next to him who plows right in. Like,
did you? Yeah. Did you run in 2 or 4 for that?
I actually only ran in 2 that day because I just wanted to. I was really trying to get a good feel for the ice out there, and I was just trying to get some good sliding video out of it because I'm just like I was out there for fun, but I was really kind of out there for video and just kind of out there to experience it. Cause I'd driven by that so many times when you're driving along on the highway and you see all those cars out there, you're like, I got to try that. Like, that seems like it'd be fun. And so,
unnerving the first time you do it.
I've driven by it enough.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've driven by it enough times seeing it frozen solid, and never in my mind, I should drive on that.
Dude, I drive.
You can take any kind of car out there.
Frozen for 3 months at a clip, and I'm never crosses my mind to go, yeah, I'm gonna go walk on that. Like, it just doesn't, it's just a different mindset.
Georgetown's at 9,000 feet, so it's that, you know, they stay colder longer. So, and that's a reservoir too, so the water isn't moving quite so rapidly underneath it.
Okay, that's quite a bit.
So, they're able to do that for like 2 months. Like, I think they started 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and they'll run through the end of February until it stops being safe. Hmm.
It sounds about right.
We'll pull it. Yeah.
That's pretty wrong.
I tried to do it twice last year and then I just didn't have time. So we'll see. I don't want to take spots from people that really want to go either. So I'll usually wait until everybody signs up and then I'll throw myself on the backup list. Because now, especially now that I've done it. But if it's something if you live in Colorado and you want to, you know, slide around on something, man, it's a lot better to go out there and do it than than anywhere else here.
Yeah.
Because it gets real dicey real fast.
A great thing to take your teenage driver to have experience winter conditions, like true winter conditions.
Well, I don't know if you heard me say that. That's so the state brings up, lets people go out there during the week as part of a program they have. So you can learn how to drive on I-70. Yeah. I don't necessarily know how well, you know, known that program is. And I'm sure at some point it'll get too busy for them. But if you're interested in it, check it out, because I'm sure they'd let you bring your teenager on there as long as they had a permit.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Instead, I just use a buddy's farm.
I mean, seriously, if you've got access to, you're in the middle of Bufu, though, so there is that. Bufu? Actually, well, you're not in the middle of Bufu. No, you're not.
What's Bufu?
I apologize.
I'm unfamiliar with the phrase you're using.
What does Bufu mean? Is that an acronym?
Bufu? Bumblefuck Nowhere?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm definitely there, but no.
Okay. Bufu country, yeah. Bufu is my parents' way of swearing without swearing.
Oh, well, they call it BFE around here a lot.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a regional thing, though.
Can you explain
to the class? Stinking Illinois, man. You guys had your own terms.
What's BFE? Well,
and plus my dad was from Kentucky and my mom was from Michigan, so half redneck and half hick. So
Urban Dictionary, what is BFE?
It's
Bumblefuck Egypt.
Yeah. The second one's fuck, and then Egypt is the last one. And so it can be bumble, it can be butt, it can be anything you want for that B word on the front.
Is that culturally inappropriate? Can we still say that?
I'm not sure. As three bearded white guys, probably not.
Probably not.
You know what? These days I automatically default to probably not.
Should I say this out loud? No.
I'm uncomfortable talking about it.
I'm leaving it in.
Yeah.
BFE has multiple meanings. Base flood elevation, bacterial filtration, big freaking explosion.
Ooh, I like that one.
Beyond freaking Egypt.
Beyond freaking Egypt. Yeah.
That's bumfucked Egypt.
Wow.
Oh, excuse me. We already have the explicit tag.
Yeah.
Bumfuck, buttfuck, Egypt.
Oh. Yep. That's the one I'm familiar with, is buttfuck in Egypt.
That's a mouth
first one.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right.
Well, if we're not canceled already, then we're.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. Well, nobody's listening at this point anyway, so we're good.
Technically, we're live, and I don't think anybody's watching right now, so we're good.
I even tell people, like, we're going to be live, and then one guy shows up, and he's real nice, but it's just one guy. So
Normally, it's our buddies.
Literally. Hi, Joel.
Yeah, there you go. It's usually people.
Hi, Joel. Yeah.
Joel or my friend John, who talks shit on my Suburban because he has a Yukon, and then he bought it and was like, oh, fuck, it's not good. And I was like, well, I tried to tell you, but.
Yeah. Oh, well, hi, John. Sorry for your loss.
You can only warn him so much.
Yeah. We need to wrap. It's 8 o'clock on the East Coast. It's
definitely late for you. Yeah.
Jamie, speaking of your own shit, why don't you plug your podcast, since that's a new thing since the last time we did this?
Yeah, man. So because I've been down with no Jeep to drive, in July, in October, I started the Trailhead podcast. I wanted to bring together a bunch of people who, I grew up kind of listening to like the morning zoo kind of radio shows. One of my favorites, the Bob and Tom Show. Anybody who's listened to a syndicated rock station in the last 20 years has heard them. And it's just a shit show. And I've always enjoyed it. I've always thought it was fun to listen to. And it's the one thing that I didn't find when I was kind of looking for stuff to listen to out here in the off-road podcasting stuff. So I invited a bunch of people that I knew mostly just kind of loosely through Instagram. I didn't want to know people too well. I figured it'd be way more fun if we all got to know each other with our audience at the same time. And that's kind of how it's been going. We just published our 20th episode.
Nice.
And we're doing about one a week. We're just separating our Friday Night Live shows into their own thing. They'll just be regular Friday night shows. We all just get around and drink too much. And then I try to end the podcast before we say something that will get us canceled.
Yeah. Usually. We should have done that 20 minutes ago here.
We should have.
Which is My favorite bit by a stand-up is a guy named Chad Daniels, and he's like, nobody yep. actually gets canceled. Your audience just shifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You just a different set of audience. Well, and the thing is, I feel like at this point, our audience already knows us, and we're the shit show people. Right. Like, it's we try to keep some sort of a semblance to what it is that we're talking about. We did 2024 predictions last week, kind of went through what AI thought was going to happen this year. That was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just sitting around updating. And then sometimes, we're doing interview shows. Like I did the guys with the Philippine Expo. So, we did an episode about Moab when the 317 miles of trails got closed. Yeah. We talked with Ben Burr, from the Blue Ribbon Coalition. That was really cool. And, we'll keep doing that. We'll keep doing the interview stuff. Our fans like listening in on the Friday night shows. I gave them shit, but there's more than one person that listens on Friday. And, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So we'll keep doing that. I keep telling my co-host that I signed up for a year of all of our hosting services. They're stuck with me for at least that nice. Long. So yeah,
that's great. That's
great. I'm a cheapskate. I don't want to leave money on the table. So
100%. I feel that like that money is spent. So we will continue to do it while that money has been spent. Yeah.
Morale will. We will continue to beat until morale improves. Exactly. Uh-huh. The same concept.
The beatings will continue.
Yep. It's been a lot of fun. We'll keep doing that. All of our hosts are from different spots. I'm here in Colorado. Pope and Randy are out in Utah. Jason and Lily are out in Idaho, Oregon area. And then we have somebody out named Alyssa out in Arizona. We had somebody out in New York, but he's just been real busy. He got real busy right after the stuff happened in October because he's a cop. And so hopefully he'll get to join us back. But yeah, we're still looking for somebody else to kind of round out that eastern side of the country, because we don't know enough about it. We will all wheel out this way, and I want to open that up a little bit. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. It's been really cool to get to know people and get a better handle of how this works. Yeah. Right? Like right. The first time I did this with you guys, it was painful for me. So this is a lot. I feel like I have a lot better handle on my technological stuff. I don't have a good one. I just have a better handle on it. So.
Right. That I completely understand. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we're good at this, and this will be 199 episodes. So I don't know.
Shit. Damn, guys, that's I hope to have those kinds of numbers. And you guys do weekly, so you've been doing this for a bit, right?
We're other trying. Than the break for Ross's wife having a baby like about a year and a half ago,
it's their rats. Right?
About that. Yeah,
yeah. Good Lord, guys. I mean,
looking who is. Slated to be recording number 200.
Oh yeah.
Von Gittin Jr. and Lauren Haley.
Have you just realized that you may not have made the 200th episode as ceremonial as you might have thought it was going to be?
Well, it'll be their return to this show. It's pretty fucking awesome, but you know.
All right.
It's funny to me, Ross. I don't think you've realized this. Vaughn was episode 100.
Really?
Yeah, well, when he was on the first time. So he would be.
Serendipitous if I ever.
That's awesome.
It. He's, all right, that's he's technically yeah, that's 201. To be. We're supposed to have an episode between
I know.
That, but yeah.
Actually, if I record with Matt and them on Saturday.
Right, they would be 200 and then Vaughn would be. Yeah, 201.
I don't feel important. She can move me around wherever you need to. If you need.
Oh, you're going up Wednesday, homie.
Yeah, man.
Damn it! All right.
I'm gonna wrap the show real fast so I can stop recording.
Yeah, I need to go to bed.
Well, yeah, that's different. So, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can like and subscribe on YouTube, Off the Road Again podcast and Trailhead podcast. Go find them both.
Yes, sir.
Follow JD. He's at me and my yellow JK on Instagram. There are underscores involved in that, but just search me and my yellow JK on Instagram and it comes up. Like, it's not that hard. Me and my yellow JK.com, trailheadnetwork.com, Trails Off Road.
Easy enough.
Right?
Trails Off Road. Yep.
Yeah.
And Trails Off Road is the 2024 Jeep is going to have our trails up in the UConnect system.
Nice. Ooh.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh shit! They did a whole press release on that. Actually,
very fancy.
Yeah, that was part of the big 2024
badge of honor. Trails are Yeah, the Badge of Honor trails are given with the guide information. That'll just be part of the Jeep, and then you can upgrade the subscription and get everything else loaded in your dash.
Awesome. Dude, that's awesome.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's pretty cool.
Toyota, take notes.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead. Yeah. We tried. We had ours in the Bronco. We had ours in the Ford Bronco. It just didn't get as much traction as the Jeep. So,
You know what they say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let that hang because I'm not sure what they say. So thank you, JD, for joining us.
Thanks, JD.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great night.